TEDx talk, man, the worst experience going up to it. But when I was on stage, it was really good, you know? Just a lot of work, dude.
Like, yeah, I remember you talking about all the planning and stuff that went into it.
Yeah, just not me. Taught me a lot, though.
You rewrote it.
Rewrote it 2 weeks out. They were working on it for 7 months. But there's people that, like, messed up. Practicing for 7 months, I practiced for about a week. And I feel like that over-practice, like, kind of fucked them up. But, dude, I don't know. It did teach me a lot because it's like, hey, like, I need to know this material, like, the back of my hand. But also, like, I'm now finding this balance. Like, Inbound was, like, I should have prepped for much longer, but probably, like, an hour. But still was probably one of the best speeches I did. But it was, like, super, like, yo, like, you're fucking making fun of me. Why are you making fun of me? Like, it was super interactive, super chill. I don't know. TEDx was cool. It taught me a lot about me. I'm a big dog guy. I need them to sick people if they do something wrong, you know?
So like different shepherd type?
Yeah, I actually want like a white shepherd, just full white shepherd, or another border, like just straight border collie. Yeah. Maybe, yeah, Australian shepherd would be too small, I think. I don't know. I like big dogs, though. So. I like small dogs, too.
Yeah. I always wanted a Rottweiler
growing up. Yeah, ooh, those are huge. Really big.
Okay, that looks pretty good.
Stud,
bro. We grab this one. Some 120 FPS Shih Tzu. Okay. Dude, he looks so good in slow motion.
I bet, man.
Because he's already in slow motion. dude, Q, thanks for having me at your office, man.
Yeah, man. April? I wish I had more, like, just time.
But really, Q is the subject of interest.
Yeah.
So, dude, tell me about your TEDx talk, dude.
TEDx talk, man, the worst experience going up to it. But when I was on stage, it was really good, you know? Just a lot of work, dude.
Like, yeah, I remember you talking about all the planning and stuff that went into it.
Yeah, just not me. Taught me a lot, though.
You rewrote it.
Rewrote it 2 weeks out. They were working on it for 7 months. But there was people that, like, messed up. Practicing for 7 months, I practiced for about a week. And I feel like that over-practice, like, kind of fucked them up. But, dude, I don't know. It did teach me a lot because it's like, hey, like, I need to know this material, like, the back of my hand. But also, like, I'm now finding this balance. Like, Inbound was, like, I should have prepped for much longer, but probably, like, an hour. But still was probably one of the best speeches I did. But it was, like, super, like, yo, like, you're fucking making fun of me. Why are you making fun of me? Like, it was super interactive, super chill. I don't know. TEDx was cool. It taught me a lot about me.
Yeah, so you had... One, you were going to talk about, like, technology, the future of technology, and you kind of changed it. Why don't you talk about why you changed, or, like,
yeah,
what happened there?
Originally, it was, like, just all about tech. Like, I just wanted to rant about technology. I was super excited, and I started talking about it. And I was like, I don't want to be this motivational guy. I don't want to just tell my story. Like, I want to talk about technology and the impact that it has. Like, that's a mess, or the impact that it's going to have, what it's going to change for, like, everyday people. And then I started talking, and they're like, you know, like, your story needs to be a part of this. Because even you just talking right now, I know you don't want to be motivational, but it's not your job to decide what that is for other people. So I kind of, like, briefly talked about it, but more so tried to apply it to the now and what you need to do now. But there's just so much fucking coming, man. Am I allowed to swear, actually? I'm not sure. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much fucking coming.
why is that?
Why is there a lot coming?
Yeah.
Dude, like, if you look at just one, like, artificial intelligence, like, alone, or, like, virtual reality alone, like, that has the potential to change just how we live our lives. If you look at all of them together, like, all of them together, there's just another revolution coming, man. Like, that to me is exciting. Like, I'm sick of my pants falling down because of my phone. I'm sick of even having to hold a phone. I'm sick of having to go on my laptop. I just want it all there, and I want,
augmented reality.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line as far as biotech and integration?
I don't, man. I think I'll be the first person to put a computer chip in my brain.
Right.
I'm weird, man.
Strange on purpose. So the documentary I'm filming, it's about Industry 4.0. This crazy idea I came up with that was kind of started out as, like, a project I was going to do for a client. Mm. They had, like, 30 offices. I was like, it'd be a great idea to go to all the offices, interview all your employees, like, get them engaged on LinkedIn.
I saw that.
Like, I could do a video, talk about your company, and that would have a certain impact. But if you have 400 employees, like, imagine the impact. Even if they only had a few hundred connections each, that dwarfs, like, you know, mm-hmm. just getting that math behind it. So they weren't in, I was going to plan it like in a month, and I was like, they weren't ready to do that yet. So I was like, well, I still want to do that. So I pivoted the idea into just being about the industry. And then instead of just focusing on one company, I got multiple companies to kind of sponsor a smaller amount. And then so that fully funded the road trip. And I really wanted to talk to you because of your view on technology. You know, industry, it's kind of, it's not quite the same as consumer tech, but and it has traditionally lagged. And so that's really where I saw the opportunity to create video content around that industry, is there's not those influencers, there's not those personalities. There's just corporate, you know, just kind of not really telling stories. Like, I mean,
what's that been like for you?
What's that?
What's that been like for you?
I mean, it's been easier to have a voice, right? Like, if I just try to talk about personal branding, like, there's a million people doing that. But if I talk about my story and personal branding in the context of industry and, you know, how I came from that industry, how I kind of saw an opportunity, pivoted into video, and now I'm doing the documentary, it's really cool. And so what do you think is holding people back from being aware of this technology?
What do I think is holding people back from being aware? Honestly, I think just getting so complacent, not wanting to be aware, because I think it's all around us. I think there's a lot of people talking about it. Like, there's movies on it, there's video games on, like, just what's could possibly happen, and just not wanting to be aware of what's coming, or just not having the people around them that are able to make them aware. I think if you really are curious about the future, curious about what exists, curious about what's coming or what impact it could have, like, it's all there, dude. Just go on Reddit for like 3 seconds and you'll be able to find it. It's just truly wanting to be aware.
What are some, so we're here in Milwaukee, what are some industries that Milwaukee is known for?
I think that's why I'm so attracted to Milwaukee, because it's trying to figure out its narrative. There's people pushing like the water hub, you know, like water technology. There's people just pushing tech hub. There's a creative scene that is vibrant now that's trying to pick it up. I would say Milwaukee isn't really known for anything outside of beer and cheese, in my opinion. But we're trying to figure out that narrative, which is why I like it, because it's a blank canvas still.
I personally know it for the beer. I know it for the LinkedIn influencers that kind of come from this area. But also Rockwell Automation.
Rockwell.
Headquarters right down the street. They've been there for 100 years, back when they were Allen Bradley. That's really cool, and I'm going there later today.
Dude, there's a lot of just big companies here. You want to go, buddy?
He was about ready to fall asleep, dude.
Was he?
Yeah, he was liking it.
I'm so sorry, man.
why transform?
In terms of me, or in terms of anyone?
Yeah, just anyone. Or
maybe
in the context of personal, or also like in industry, how does transforming help a company?
Yeah, I would say, like, so Instagram, for example, like, just completely revolutionized the way that we view, like, creatives, the way that we view, like, photography, the way that businesses work. You had to have that presence. You had to be visually appealing. Like, you start a coffee shop now, one of the first things you're going to think of, is this Instagrammable, right? It changed. And I would say now what's coming, like, there's just going to be a lot of changes. And if you don't keep up with that, you're going to die as a company. Mm-hmm. For us, like, okay, yeah, we create stories, but how can we create an experience now that's a story? So is that like in virtual reality, you know, like an environment that we're building? You're in this story, you're in this experience. If we don't do that, we're probably not going to succeed. It's not something I'm looking at now, but moving with the industry. And I would say, like, just as a human, like, again, I'm weird, dude, but like, for me, like, I think that just artificial intelligence machines, like, I think there will be a point where they surpass us. And if we don't either merge with them, like, we're just gonna become extinct, man, because one, the planet's gonna die, or we're not gonna be able to compete with that level of intelligence if we don't merge. I think that is bound to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah. Did you see the Nick Bostrom recent episode on the Joe Rogan Experience?
No.
Nick Bostrom is the guy who came up with the simulation argument and the simulation hypothesis.
That we're all living in a simulation right now? Yeah.
Well, or one of three options. One, humans go extinct before they reach the technological maturity in order to create simulations of that depth. Two, we reach that, but we determine not to based on ethical or whatever type of it's not good use of our resources. or three, you know, we are, like, there's 99.99% chance of living, that we're living in a simulation, because when we get ready to hit that button to start our own simulation, at that point, if we are able to do it, who's to say in this existence that there wasn't someone before or after?
Dude, stuff's so crazy, man. It's so crazy. So legit. I know Elon Musk has talked about that too. Like, that was in like Men in Black too. You know, it's like people have been talking about it for a while. That's fascinating.
At the end of the day, though, I think the conclusion was that whether we're in a simulation or not, you still kind of act like in a similar way that as if you weren't in a simulation.
What does it matter, right?
Right. Yeah. Because we all just, it's all about the experience and the journey, right? So we could just be in our own brains without everyone else could just be in a figment of our imaginations. But
dude, I think about it all the time. How crazy am I?
Okay.
Does Kit actually exist?
As long as you think about it, okay, so now we're good. So we're the same there. All right. So where's the future of your guys' company going?
Yeah, man. I would say Urban Misadventures, like right now it's like parent company, subsidiary. We only have one subsidiary, our events company. But we want more conglomerate based, man. Like I want a powerhouse. Like I want a big skyscraper with a lake that's named after the Misfits, you know, but like owning these different subsidiaries. So we're working with like fashion brands now, right? We're working with people on the personal brands and companies. Okay, what's working? We have this community. Now let's launch our own fashion brand. Let's launch our own sports agency, you know, something like, I don't want to do that, but maybe we do, you know, like our own esports team, and let's use our agency, the content team, to be that machine that helps those companies grow. So more of a conglomerate. And honestly, I just want to have fun, dude. Yeah.
So we first met at VidCon last year. How has your story evolved since that time, just over
a year ago? Dude, that's crazy. That was just over a year ago. I feel like everything has changed. At that time, like I was just getting started, this was still an idea, but it wasn't the idea that it ended up becoming.
It wasn't official yet, right?
Yeah, it wasn't official yet. Since then, like that was my first like fairly large speaking engagement, like with a big name. I've done a lot. I just finished up Inbound. I did my first TEDx. Dog, it's amazing. Company's grown. Like we have employees that rely on us to pay their bills, dude. Like just for the most part, everything's changed. Like I feel like a mix of a 77-year-old with like a 13-year-old dude. Like I feel like a dad, but like still that childish, like let's experiment, let's try new things, let's test. Mm-hmm. But everything's changed.
Dude, how did Jackie blow up?
Because we know what we're doing.
how do you determine what element did you contribute towards it versus how much she was able to just be natural at it? Or
So I would say like a big thing for us now is we're realizing, okay, why do people take off, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever, because we work on all platforms now, and the biggest thing is not our videos. Like it's a big part of it, but it's not our videos, it's not the strategy, it's do they have ultimate clarity on who they are? If they have that ultimate clarity on who they are, then the videos and the strategy we can obliterate. So I would say Jackie, we knew and she knew exactly what she wanted to do, for the most part, exactly who she was speaking to, what the result she wanted, and who she is and what makes her unique. And because of that, we were able to blow her up. Shay, same thing. That's why. Because she knows who she is. She knows why she's unique. You, same thing. You know why you're unique. You know what makes you special, why people gravitate towards you. If we know that, we can do it with anybody. So those people that are like, oh, yeah, like give me $100 million and I can blow you. I mean, you could blow anyone up with $100 million, but give me $20 a month or something, you know, and we'll do it with everybody. I don't believe in that.
Can you blow Shih Tzu up?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. He came in right away. I was like, okay, I know what makes you special. I already found your spot.
Yeah. Dude, it would be so cool to have him, like, have 1 million Instagram followers.
You could, man. Willie's dog is crushing it on Instagram. Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, what if my own dog, like, surpassed
me? Yeah. That's why I don't invest a lot of time in my dogs.
Or, like, when you're working with a client, sometimes your clients will kind of pass you, and then it's like, well, yeah.
See, that's the best part. The best part. Then you really know what you're doing. And like, what's passing? Like, is it the follower number? Is it like revenue? Is it like brand awareness? Like, what is like what's success for that person? So
it really depends on the individual. What would you say? What is an influencer?
I would say, so I have two buckets. So thought leader, influencer. Thought leader is always an influencer. An influencer isn't always a thought leader. I gravitate more towards a thought leader. And again, always an influencer, but am I bringing real value? I would say an influencer can be someone that's like, hey, I'm pretty, like my shit, right? Mm-hmm. That to me isn't a thought leader. They can be too,
it's
but
like marketing.
It's just like, hey, like I've got influence, you like me, cool, like let's do something. But that person, let's say they were pretty, right? And people like their stuff, but they're talking about mental health and they're sharing like, okay, this is how I got over this. This is what you can do too. They've got like these courses maybe, or they have these seminars or these retreats. That's a thought leader. So I'd say an influencer is just someone that has established trust with the people that follow them and they're inspiring them to take action, whether that's on the, hey, I'm pretty, or hey, like here's some value that you can use.
How is building influence different for an individual versus a company?
It's not. And so you got to build trust, man. It's just like dating, just like marriage, like trust. You don't have that trust, like you're probably going to get a divorce, you're probably going to break up. Same on the company side, same on the person side.
But you would more so focus on like the leader or the founder?
No. Like I'd say that's something that we struggled with. Initially it was like, hey, let's focus on us because we're the company. Now I'm at a point where I get bored easy, dude, like really easy. I need to test, I need to run experiments, but I don't want my company to have to rely on me. Like even now, like I'm here a lot, but I'm working on the business. Like I don't run the business. Izzy and Chandler, for the most part, run the business. I am on it and I focus on sales with Izzy, or I'm focused on driving traffic. That's where I'm best in strategy, where we want to go in the future. I would say, yeah. I don't want my company to have to rely on me when it comes to the story or marketing or whatever it is. I want it to be its own entity.
Yeah. It requires a lot of humility.
Yeah. And like, I want the freedom, you know, man, I don't want to work.
So, do you have any questions?
What's the goal for this documentary?
I mean, really the goal is just, I was really wanting to take a video.
Yeah.
If I can help inspire people through that, you know, just a year ago, I was kind of miserable in a 9-to-5 job. And, then within a year, by actually just taking that step outside my comfort zone, by branding myself, by really just trying to figure out who I am and who I want to be, and telling that story, that I think that's the most satisfying thing for me is helping people believe in a better future.
Right? Yeah.
Believe that they can do it too.
Dude, it's so crazy.
Because when you're on that other side, you often feel like separated from like these thought leaders or influencers. It seems unattainable, but I was like, no, like why can't I do that too?
Yeah. It's insane that like we literally live in a world where you can turn anything to, you can monetize anything. Yeah. Like crazy, man, but there's still so many people that are just unhappy.
I mean, it's really my personal goal. I mean, obviously I want the documentary to provide a lot of value to the industry. One of the things I really like seeing is companies, I mean, it's a very dated industry, right? It's just very slow to change. I mean, you think about water and electricity, these are very mission critical applications, so people are very hesitant to want to upgrade them or try new technology. But it's getting to a time where businesses that don't transform are going to be at risk to competition, right? Or, you know, you have a line operator versus a machine learning algorithm, who's going to be better, right?
1,000%, man.
So, and then you know, it's just making people's jobs better, right? Allowing them to transition to more creative roles like myself. I really do want to be that evangelist for Industry 4.0 and for industrial automation. So the documentary is interesting, and it's going to kind of be, you know, interviews like this with people in the industry, and then also just the story of the road trip itself to kind of make it relatable. Yeah. So
no, I want to do something like that eventually too. And like I love like what you just said about tech. I think that's why I love tech so much, is that I feel like we're on like this big feedback loop. Like we used to just like live our life, like we lived our lives to survive, you know, like tribes, whatever, but like we weren't like sitting in cubicles, you know, like in tech now, like it's gonna allow us to just do what we actually wanna do.
Yeah.
Like really an extension, like let's create for a living. Have fun for a living versus let's market this product that no one gives a shit about, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I really do think there is a purpose for everyone and they truly can follow that passion and where it intersects with what the world needs and, you know, that kind of perfect. And so that's really what I want to help people understand. And I was going to go somewhere with that.
Yeah, man, I agree, man. Same. Like, Same. I think it's cooler seeing other people like do what they love than it is like honestly doing it. Like I love what I'm doing, but still, like I think it's more fulfilling seeing other people do it. It's so cool. Like so cool. Like this is dope. Because yeah, I remember like when you were starting, dude. I remember like this is legit.
Because like the company I used to work for, now they've started up their own video channel, and a lot of that has been an inspiration of me. You know, I don't take full credit, I think.
Yeah.
But I do like seeing those people jump on board and, you know, just create, you know, whether it's cinematic videos or just something that's their own style, but knowing that I kind of helped get them there sooner. They would have got there on their own, but if I can help get them there a little bit quicker, just like your course, if you can help someone reach that influencer status that much sooner, then you're providing value, you're getting value out of that, they're getting value out of that. We all kind of build this network and ecosystem together. Oh, this is what I was gonna say. If you look at the history of humanity, people would go generations without any change. Like they would just literally do the same thing over and over and over. And you know, so, and then you get to like the last 100 or so years, it just is like this.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this hockey stick. So it's like, you know,
and is that
we're living
down
in a very critical time, and it's very interesting. So
it is, man. It
I'm
is,
just happy to document down. It. Very thankful that you're open to have me at your office, man.
Yeah, dude. Appreciate you. I think you're the first person I've shaken in the hair. Normally it's a fist bump, always podcast, like, push.
Thanks. All right, guys. Peace out.